I'm reading from Genesis chapter 8, from verse 15 through to the third verse of chapter 9, and then picking up chapter 9 again at verse 8. Chapter 8 and verse 15, then God spoke to Noah, saying, "Go out of the ark, you and your wife, and your sons' wives with you, and bring out with you every living thing of all flesh that is with you, birds and cattle, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth, so that they may abound on the earth and be fruitful and multiply on the earth." So Noah went out, and his sons, and his wife, and his sons' wives with him. Every animal, every creeping thing, every bird, and whatever creeps on the earth according to their families, went out of the earth. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord, and took of every clean animal, and of every clean bird, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a soothing aroma. Then the Lord said in his heart, "I will never again curse the ground for man's sake, although the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth, nor will I again destroy every living thing as I have done. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, day and night shall not cease." So God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be on every beast of the earth, on every bird of the air, and on all that move on the earth, and on all the fish of the sea. They shall be given into your hand. Every moving thing that lives shall be food for you. I have given you all things, even as the green herbs." And then verse 8. Then God spoke to Noah and said to his sons with him, saying, "And as for me, behold, I establish my covenant with you and with your descendants after you, and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the cattle, and every beast of the earth with you. Of all that go out of the ark, every beast of the earth. Thus I establish my covenant with you. Never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of the flood. Never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth." And God said, "This is the sign of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I set my rainbow in the cloud, and it shall be for the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. And it shall be when I bring a cloud over the earth that the rainbow shall be seen in the cloud. And I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. The waters shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. The rainbow shall be in the cloud, and I will look on it to remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth." And God said to Noah, "This is the sign of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is on earth." So we thank God for his word to us this morning. Have you ever heard the sentence, "Houston, we have a problem. These words, a misquote of what was said on the Apollo craft in 1970, could certainly have been used in respect of Houston in the past few weeks as a dam burst and floodwaters caused absolute havoc in that city. We've also seen similar floods in Asia. My wife, looking at the geography, asked, why do people live in Bangladesh? It's so low compared with the sea level and with the rising sea level. There are going to be problems there. And we've seen problems, similar problems in Africa. And earlier in the year in other places. However, although such devastations cause distress and loss of life, God assures us in the scriptures that these will never have the total effect that the flood of Noah's day had. God promised in Genesis 9 and verse 11, never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of the flood. And he added in chapter 9 and verses 12 and following, this is the sign of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I set my rainbow in the cloud, and it shall be for the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. The verses that we read from the Bible this morning remind us in Genesis 8 and 9 that God is a God who makes promises. God is a God who makes promises. Every day people make promises. Children make promises. Young people make promises. I've mentioned Janet already. She was a farmer's daughter. And she often had money in her pocket for the school tuck shop. And friends would come and say to her, Janet, can you lend me so much? I'll pay you back tomorrow. And she said often tomorrow didn't come. People make promises. Adults make promises. Some are relatively trivial. Some are important. Some are life-changing. But more significantly, God makes promises. And in Genesis 8 and 9, God makes a number of significant promises. Think again of the promises that we read about in our Bible reading this morning. Never again will I curse the ground. The earth was cursed, but he wouldn't do it again. Never again will I destroy all living creatures as I have done. As long as the world carries on, there will be summer. There will be winter. There will be day. There will be night. There will be hot. There will be cold. Never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of a flood. And to confirm that promise, God added in verses 12 and following, this is the sign of the covenant which I make between me and you. I set my rainbow in the cloud, and it shall be for the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. in those few verses that we read from Genesis this morning, God made at least 10 promises. I wonder how many promises there are in the Bible as a whole. I guess more than we could ever count. But as I read the Bible, I discover God has made great and wonderful promises that even surpass those that we find in Genesis. Those are wonderful promises. But I find promises that surpass them. I find that God promised to send his Son, Jesus, from heaven into our world as a tiny baby. I find that he promised that his Son would die on a cross to save his people from their sins. I find that those who repent and believe the gospel, those who believe, who repent and believe that he died to save them on the cross, that God actually takes notice of them. And he forgives them. And he brings them into his family. And he gives them the right to become children of God. I find also that he promised that Jesus would rise from the dead. And I find the promise that the risen Lord Jesus would ascend into heaven and represent his people who remain on earth day by day before the throne of God and prepare a place for them so that they with all his children would enjoy his kingdom for eternity. And I find the promise that one day the Lord Jesus will return and gather his people to be with him forever. So although the promises of Genesis are fantastic, I see there a springboard that leads me into all the other promises that God makes in his word. And they are absolutely wonderful. But does God keep his promises? Does God keep his promises? You see, sometimes people forget that they made a promise. One evening, a mother called her family to get up the table for their evening meal. And she brought in a lovely evening meal. It was an evening meal of cold meat and salad. But when her daughter Alison saw the meal, her eyes popped wide open and she drew a deep breath and then exploded. But you promised we would have fish and chips tonight. Mum stood there, gutted, and she said, "Sweetheart, I did, didn't I? But I completely forgot. Let's eat this up tonight and we'll have fish and chips tomorrow." And Alison pulled a lovely grumpy face, sighed and said, "Okay." Now, sometimes I have forgotten promises I have made. Once when I was about 23 years of age, I forgot that I had promised to go and speak at a meeting in a church in a village about 15 miles from my home in Suffolk. In fact, not only had I forgotten, But Janet and I had invited friends to dinner. I only remembered when mother-in-law came down from the farm, and we were living in a farm cottage, but didn't have a telephone. When mother-in-law came down from the farm and said, I've just had a message from Brockley to say it's snowing so heavily that they've decided to cancel the meeting and you won't be needed. I'd been very careless. I'd forgotten. But do you forget promises you have made? Perhaps you should do something to remind you, like tying a knot in your handkerchief. But God never forgets a promise that he has made. He always remembers his promises. God said in Genesis 9 and verse 14, it shall be when I bring a cloud over the earth that the rainbow shall be seen in the cloud, and I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. I will remember. When God saw his people as slaves in Egypt, he remembered his promises to them. And exactly at the right time, God remembered his promise to send Jesus into the world. And when Jesus came and when Jesus died, did he forget to raise him from the dead? No, on the third day after the crucifixion, God remembered his promise and raised Jesus from the dead. God never forgets his promises. And as we are called to follow in his steps, we should try to remember ours too. But are there times when God overlooks a promise he has made? You see, sometimes people overlook or ignore a promise they have made. They just don't make it. I guess all of us could give examples this morning of someone who's failed to make, to keep a promise to us. Not picking these out unfairly, but maybe a tradesman promised to come and fix a problem in our house and didn't turn up. Or maybe we can remember when we failed to keep a promise we made to someone else. But would God ever behave like that? In 2 Peter in verse 3, Peter speaks to us about people who suggest that God may be like that. Peter says, they say, where is the promise of his coming? It's a long time since Jesus promised he would return. For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. But has God overlooked or ignored his promise? How does Peter answer that question? He reminds them that God's measurement of time is different to the way in which we measure time on earth. Listen to what Peter says in 2 Timothy 3 and verses 8 and following. 2 Peter 3, 8 and following. But, beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slack, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. There is a reason for the apparent delay by which God keeps his promise. He will fulfill his promise, for he will fulfill every promise he has made. But he will not fulfill his promise to return and end this world until all who will come to him in repentance and in faith have come. And that's a promise too. And then he will come. The Bible tells us that God is faithful. He always keeps his word. He always keeps his promises. And of course, if we are his followers, we should aim to do the same. Sometimes people cannot keep a promise they have made. Once when I was sitting on a train that was going very, very slowly into Euston, the person sitting beside me became very agitated. Every few seconds he looked at his watch rather anxiously. He looked out of the window to see whether there were any signs that we would soon catch up speed. And then eventually, in frustration, he took out his mobile phone and he dialed a number. And he said, "I am so, so sorry. I am not going to be able to keep my appointment. I do apologize, but I'm stuck on a train." He couldn't fulfill his appointment. He couldn't fulfill his promise. And sometimes people cannot keep a promise through no fault of their own. Had the lane coming from Tring to King's Langley have been the same as the lane going from King's Langley to Tring this morning, I wouldn't have got here probably. Because something had happened, there were police cars and the traffic was at a standstill. Yes, when we can't keep a promise, we obviously apologize. But God never gets into that predicament. He doesn't suffer from the limitations that you and I have. He's not limited in time. He's not limited by situations. He's not limited by circumstances. He is Lord. God is so much greater than any of us. And nothing can stop him keeping his promises. Joshua's testimony at the end of his life in Joshua and chapter 23 and verse 14 tells us this. Joshua 23 verse 14. "Behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth." In other words, he's about to die. And he says, "And you know in all your heart and in all your souls, in all your hearts and in all your souls, that not one thing has failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spoke concerning you. All have come to pass for you. Not one word of them has failed." Because God keeps his promises. And God says through Isaiah, "So shall my word be that goes out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the things for which I sent it." And Paul adds, and I find this an interesting verse. He says, for all the promises of God in him, that is in Christ, are yea and amen. What does he mean? All the promises of God in Christ are yes in him and amen to the glory of God through us. In other words, the promises of God find their fulfillment in Christ and through Christ. For nothing is too hard for the Lord. And these great promises of God, and some of those, and those wonderful promises that I referred to earlier, find their fulfillment in Christ. As he comes as the Word of God among us, as he comes as the Savior God, as he intercedes for us, as he opens heaven for us. Many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purposes of God that will be fulfilled. Nothing can stop him keeping his word. People often keep their promises, but God always keeps his promises. This is the time of the year when many of the earth's crops in the UK are harvested. The corn harvest is being gathered in. The rain has made it a little bit difficult this year, but gradually it's being gathered in. Those who have worked hard in their gardens are enjoying the produce. My wife was gathering the runner beans from the garden a couple of days ago. She looked at me and she said, you know, I'm looking at that apple tree. And she said, you said that we shouldn't gather those coxes until October. But I fancy one. And so she went and picked an apple off the tree and brought it in and ate it. Gave me a bit. Isn't that lovely to be able to just enjoy the promises of God being fulfilled? In Genesis chapter 22, God says, as long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never fail. Now, has God kept his promise? Have you ever known a day that was not followed by night? Have you ever known a year without winter? I'm getting on in years now. And every year of my life, I have attended a harvest Thanksgiving service. Why? Because God has kept his promise that there will be seed time and harvest. Each year, people have planted seeds in their garden and in the fields, and they've grown and produced food and fruit. And God is so kind that even when there is famine in one part of the world, there is more than enough in another part. If only folk would share. God keeps his promises. But let me conclude by reminding you of some of the fabulous promises, four of them, that we find in John's Gospel. Chapter 3 and verse 16. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 1 and verse 12. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. To those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. What a fabulous promise. John 8 and verse 12. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. One evening, back in Tring, we had a visit from the Torch Choir. The Torch Choir was made up of people who had impairment of sight, many who were blind. And they sang of their faith in the Lord Jesus. And this Sunday school dad, who had come along for the evening, came up to me afterwards and he said, my, tonight as I've listened to those people, I've seen it's me who's blind, not them. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. And John 14, Jesus says, do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I may come again and it doesn't say that. I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. God makes promises and God keeps his promises. Let us trust him. Amen.